Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church.
Amen. All right. Well, we're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and as you read through this passage, you're going to see real quickly, and you may have already noticed it if you got the text on Thursday and read through this ahead of time, or even if you just heard it for the first time from Jordan, but as you read through there, there are definitely two different ways of approaching things, and I think there are a lot of areas of life that we know what that's like, and one of them is in our house, and actually in our church, and that is there's a right way of doing things and a wrong way of doing things, specifically when you put a roll of toilet paper back in the spot. Some of you are like, oh, I didn't know you were supposed to do that. That's because you let someone else do it all the time. How many of you guys live with someone like that? They always leave nothing on there, right? But when you put it on, what's the right way of doing it? Over or under? If you said under, you can leave right now, all right? We have fired people over this whole thing, right? No, there's a right way of doing it and a wrong way of doing it. Same thing with peanut butter and jelly. You got peanut butter, jelly. One piece of sandwich, the other piece of sandwich. You put peanut butter on one, you put jelly on the other. Don't be a savage and put the peanut butter and the jelly on one and leave the other one all by itself. How many of you guys do it that way? Are there any weirdos? You guys are the under people too, right? There's a right way of doing things and a wrong way of doing things, right? There, you can contrast those. We can argue about that after the service. But when you read this text, there's a clear contrast between the way the world thinks and the way that God has called us as believers to think. The way I would put it, and I think the way that Paul puts it here, is it's the wisdom of the world versus what we would call true wisdom. Whether a person is saved or not, we're all created in the image of God, and we all long for wisdom because we recognize that it is wisdom that will help us to gain the things that God has designed us to desire. God wants us to desire to be loved, to have joy, to have peace, to have acceptance. Like, we're all hardwired to have that. And the world says, here's how you obtain those things that you desire. Here's the wisdom that we will give you so that you can obtain love and joy and peace. And in this writing from the Apostle Paul to this church at Corinth, he's telling them, like, hey, I want these things for you too. And so that's why today these verses that we're going to look at, we're going to call it God's plan for wisdom. Not what the world says, how to have wisdom to see these things attained, but God's plan for wisdom. When you begin to read through this letter to the church at Corinth, you can see very quickly that there were some things that were stopping them from experiencing all of the things that God wanted them to have in their lives. I couldn't help but think with our children, they're grown now, but when they were younger, I was trying to think of an example of something I wanted for them, but they just wouldn't do it. And I couldn't help but think of our daughter, Gracie, and I was looking for her, but I don't see her red hair anywhere, so I'm not sure if she's here or not. But we went to an indoor water park up at Wisconsin Dells. You guys were with us, and we were at the small kiddie part of it, and I knew that Gracie would enjoy doing it, because Gracie just has tons of energy. She's still wired like that, and I said, you've got to try. I don't want to do it, Dad. I don't want to do it. She stayed in the shallow stuff, and so her Uncle Jim and myself would go up there and go down. As a matter of fact, I went down it, and I was so much heavier than what it was designed for. I went all the way to the end. I didn't realize it, and I kicked my feet down and hit the back of my foot on it and split it wide open. I had to go get stitches there in Wisconsin Dells. But anyway, I was trying to get Grace to do it. She's, I don't want to do it, Dad. I don't want to do it. The whole time I knew, if you would just do this, you would love every minute of it. And finally, she did it, and she realized how smart her father is, right? And she kept running the rest of the time, just back and forth the whole time. It was something that I longed for her, but she was fighting against it. I can't help but think that many of us know that God desires things that are better for us as well. And the question that I wrote down was, what is it that God desires for you? But I think the better question is, what is it that's keeping you from that thing? For this church that was at Corinth, in this first couple of chapters, he's only dealing with one of the issues, and we won't get to the other ones until later, but the first issue that he's dealing with them is this issue of division and how they were aligning themselves with certain spiritual leaders and fighting amongst themselves. There is true wisdom from God that heals division, not only for them, but also for us. But I also recognize that not everyone in this room is dealing with that. I know some of you wrestle with, you know, whether you're of Josh or of Mark or of Andrew, and I get that, and most of you are of Josh, and that's good. But I recognize that most of us probably aren't dealing with that within the church, but there are other things. Maybe we're dealing with anxiety or fear. Maybe there's some kind of immorality or maybe some past trauma that we just need to move past, because we recognize that God has something better for us out there, and we need wisdom in order to move forward from these things. The world offers us endless amounts of wisdom on them. As a matter of fact, no matter what the issue is that you may be wrestling with this morning, you can go online and you can find endless books in libraries and bookstores. You can talk to counselors and therapists. You can talk with friends and get their thoughts and opinions. You can look at what social media influencers have to say. But what Paul tells us here, the first thing we learn about true wisdom is this, is that God's plan for true wisdom is better than what the world offers. The first thing we have to know is that God's plan is better than what the world offers. Look what he says in verse number 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Notice that he's pointing out here the end of man's wisdom. The end of man's wisdom is that it comes to naught. It comes to nothing. It is soon forgotten. You know, there seems to be a couple of different ways that you can look at this wisdom of the world. Of course, one of them is kind of stark and very easy to see, and that is wisdom that justifies sin. If you're looking for an excuse, you'll always find one. Is anyone really good at making excuses to justify your sin? I'm really good at it. Maybe you're with me on that. We can always find an excuse, right? And the world offers plenty of it. The advice that the world offers is, man, you got to look out for number one. And when we have that mentality of this wisdom of you got to look out for number one, it breeds selfishness and it breeds a lack of concern for the needs of others. The world teaches us that truth is relative. You know, right or wrong is dependent upon your truth. Well, there is no your truth, my truth. There is truth and that's it, right? But the world looks at that a little bit differently. The world says if it feels good, then do it. And of course, these are all things that lead to us perpetuating the same problems that we are experiencing in our lives. And so we see that there is a wisdom that justifies sin, but there's also a wisdom that is not necessarily evil or even sinful. I want to preface what I'm about to say by saying that I am a firm believer in counseling and therapy. I think it's something that is very useful, has been in my life, in our family, and many in our church. And I'm not trying to even insinuate that counseling and therapy are the world's wisdom. Now, some of it is, but not all of it is. There's a lot of good stuff out there that's actually rooted in Scripture. Now, with that being said, there's a question that I've wrestled with this week. Why is it that there are more people than ever in therapy and counseling, yet we live in a world that could be described as the most anxious and depressed time that's ever existed? Again, I'm not saying that therapy is useless or even that God doesn't use it to bring hope and healing, but I think it's clear something is missing. It's coming to naught for many people. And so we see that God's wisdom is better. Contrast the end of man's wisdom, which is that it comes to naught, with the end of God's wisdom in verse number 7. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. Notice that last part. Unto our glory. He says, man's wisdom leads to it coming to naught. It ends up being useless. It's forgotten about. But God's wisdom leads to our glory. That word glory means to be exalted or to have a glorious condition. The wisdom that God offers is designed for our good and for glory. I don't think that necessarily means that God wants to exalt us as much as it means that God's wisdom leads to us fulfilling the purpose for which we were created. God's wisdom leads to what God desires for us, the way that he created us to long for love and joy and peace and acceptance and self-control. I hate to admit, as we talk about sin and that kind of thing, and you know, we're supposed to confess our faults one to another, and I've got to tell you that I have a smoking problem. I have an electric smoker, and I have a big green egg, and I have a Weber charcoal grill, and I have a propane grill, and I have a Blackstone griddle. Got a little bit of a smoking problem, right? How many other smokers are out there? Raise your hand right there. You go. Yeah, I love it. I love doing that. And whenever you're smoking meat, you're always looking for ideas, right? You're always looking for good, solid wisdom. And if you've ever looked online for wisdom in regards to smoking, there are tons of opinions out there. One of the go-to things is you got to know how to make a good pulled pork, right? And one of the things that they argue about is, do you put the fat cap up or do you put it down? How many guys are up people? Raise your hand. How many guys are down people? Raise your hand. How many guys have no idea what I'm talking about? Raise your hand, all right? Yeah, there's wisdom. You got to put the fat cap up or down. Then people, well, do you score it or do you not score it? Are you supposed to use mustard as a binder to hold the rub, or are you supposed to use oil as a binder to hold the rub? Like, there's all kinds of wisdom out there, and every person says that their wisdom is better than everyone else's, which means that their pulled pork is better than everyone else's, right? But if I were to tell you that I found a guy that has never led me astray, and everything that he recommended to me has been an absolute home run, you'd ask, where can I get this guy's info? Like, does he have a book? Does he have a website? Can I follow him on social media? What do I need to do? And I think that's kind of what we're getting at as we read through this passage, is Paul is saying, look, there's the world's wisdom that comes to naught, like their pulled pork tastes terrible, and then you've got God's wisdom, and that pulled pork tastes amazing. The obvious question is, well, how do I get that wisdom? Where does that true wisdom come from? What is God's plan for wisdom? Which leads us to the second thought, and that is this. God's plan for wisdom is found in the gospel. God's plan for wisdom is found in the gospel. Verses 7 and 8 make this so incredibly clear. Listen to it again, verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What is it that God ordained or God pre-planned before the world even began? The book of Revelation tells us, I think it's 1 Peter also tells us, that Christ was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. So he's speaking very clearly about this plan for man's redemption that God had in place before man was even created. Verse number 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so he's pointing out here that if the evil people, or even the demonic forces, had they understood the biblical prophecies that we have read in the book of Isaiah, or the biblical prophecies that we've read in the book of Jeremiah or Ezekiel or all these other things, as you read through those biblical prophecies, had they fully understood that, they would not have crucified Jesus, because they would have known that that was a part of God's plan. These Old Testament prophecies were intentionally vague so that you couldn't predict them before they happened, right? Of course, we have the benefit of hindsight. It's no longer a mystery to us. It's no longer hidden anymore. And so we understand that the wisdom that he's referring to here in verses 7 and 8 is the wisdom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Specifically, the wisdom of the gospel for our salvation. Look what he says in verse 9. If you like to keep notes, it's actually a quotation of Isaiah 64 where he said, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Man, when we read that verse, I can't help but think about heaven, right? Eye has not seen, ear is not heard. And man, I think about heaven, you know, streets of gold, gates of pearl. You think about seeing our loved ones that have passed away. We think about seeing Jesus face to face. I mean, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for them that love him. What we see in this verse is that no man could have ever come up with this plan for salvation. Even the demonic forces couldn't decipher. They couldn't decipher all these prophecies and figure out what he was talking about here. It's because it was something that was the true wisdom of God that men could not understand, but now we have the blessing to be able to look back and say, oh, that's what he was talking about in Isaiah. That's what he was talking about whenever he was giving us pictures of Jesus in Isaiah, in Isaac, or pictures of Jesus even in the Garden of Eden. We can look back now and we can see that God had this beautiful plan for salvation. And just so that we're clear on that, God's plan for salvation, man couldn't have come up with. Because if man came up with a plan for salvation, it'd be this: good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. Which seems pretty fair, seems pretty just. We watch Law and Order a lot, and I love to be the judge on every one of those, right? I want to tell you, you know, this is what ought to happen to that guy. But I was going to tell you right now, none of us want justice. We want mercy. We don't want justice because if we got what we deserve, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that go after God. And so we are all sinners that fall short of the glory of God. And if we got what we deserved, we would spend a Christless eternity separated from Jesus. I'm thankful for the mercy that he showed by sending his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. He's speaking here about the true, God's plan for true wisdom is found in the gospel. But I would push just a little bit farther and say that Paul's message to the Corinthians goes deeper than just prophecy about salvation. He's also speaking to them about the source of true wisdom. Look again at verse number 7. Where it says, but we speak verse number six. Verse number six says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Of course, that doesn't refer to someone that's got all their ducks in a row. He's talking about people that are spiritually mature. So he's indicating here that we're speaking this mystery, which we already said the mystery is what? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that these people couldn't understand. And so he says, we're speaking the gospel to Christians. People that are spiritually mature. You see the same thing in verse number 10 where he says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all of us, yea, the deep things of God. So again, he's telling us that I'm sharing this mystery, this truth, this wisdom, the gospel with people that have the Spirit, which would be Christians. So the question is, why is he sharing the gospel with saved people? Because saved people don't need the gospel anymore, because once you got saved, you're in, right? We use this picture a lot. We used it a couple of years ago, and we've referenced already once in this series. But this is called the three circles. It's an evangelism tool. You start at the top and with the first circle, where it's God's design. That's in the Garden of Eden. Man was created to walk in fellowship with God. That's the way God wanted us to live. But of course, sin entered in. Eve blew it for all of us, right? Just kidding. Adam was in on that too. And that sin led to brokenness. And the little squiggly lines that you see there are all the different things that we do to try to fix our sin, just like Adam and Eve did, right? They hid, they covered themselves, they were ashamed. We do the same thing when we sin. We try to hide ourselves, we're ashamed, we try to cover things, we oftentimes try to fix things on our own. What we do a lot of times is we look to man's wisdom, you know, good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell, and we try to fix it, all to realize I can't fix my own brokenness. Of course, the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, the plan that God had before the foundation of the world that the enemies didn't even understand. Now we see it clearly. The reason Jesus died for us was so that we can be saved. And so we repent and believe the gospel, and that allows us to be brought back into fellowship with God, which is his design for us. And when we walk in fellowship with God, it produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and self-control and those other things that we were talking about earlier. Of course, we understand this in regards to salvation, but he wasn't sharing the three circles here of the gospel with lost people. He's sharing it with Christians. So why is he sharing the gospel with Christians? And I would contend that the reason he's sharing it with them is because true wisdom is found in the gospel. The answer to their division was found in the gospel. Because although I may have been brought back into God's design by believing the gospel, I have the Spirit of God, I am becoming spiritually mature, God is sanctifying me, but I'm still broken. Just ask my wife. Is she in here? There she is, hiding behind the pole back there. She won't have to look at me too much. She knows how broken I am, I guess. But yeah, I mean, we're all broken, are we not? How many of you guys live with somebody that's a screw-up, right? Yeah, we all are broken in some way. And what we do oftentimes is we revert back to what we did before salvation. We look to man's wisdom. And we look to the world's way of fixing our problems rather than looking to the understanding that Christ is the one that wants to fix my problems. As I believe the gospel and believe that my only hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ, not just for salvation, but also for sanctification, it brings me back to God's design for my life. This is the answer to their division. What's interesting is it's going to take time for us to walk through 1 Corinthians, but out of the four or five major sins that he deals with throughout this letter, do you know what he tells them the answer is in every single one of them? The gospel. He's writing to this church that is just fighting with one another. He's writing to us that are anxious. He's writing to us that are having other issues that we know we need to work through. And he says the answer is to believe the gospel again because it is the answer to life's problems. Verse number 7 says that God ordained that the wisdom found in the gospel would be used for our glory, right? It would be used not only for our salvation, but it would be used for our sanctification that would help us to grow. God determined that this was the way to bring out His best in us, to conform us into the image of Jesus. How we find ourselves experiencing brokenness, how many of us actually think about the gospel? This is something that I'm trying to learn myself, and I'm going to dive into what that means here in just a minute, but when you're in the heat of, you just made a stupid mistake, right? I actually walked in just yesterday, and I asked my wife a question, and she answered the question, and I said, why are you talking to me like that? Yeah. She talked to you like what? I said, you talk to me like, and I forget what I said, and the more that I talked, I realized how dumb I sounded. And because I had just been preparing, like earlier in that morning, yesterday morning, I had been kind of finalizing some of these things, and I was like, what would the gospel say about this, Josh? Is the way that you're talking to her the way that Christ would talk to you? But seriously, how many times do we think about the gospel in our brokenness? Typically, we think, well, I'm going to figure this out. Typically, we think, well, I just got to get my point across. We typically think, well, I just figure what I'm going to do is, I got this idea. We are like the Corinthians in that we tend to look for the wisdom of men, verse 5, rather than the power of God. Honestly consider, oftentimes the wisdom that we seek in our brokenness, how is that wisdom that we seek, or even the wisdom we share with others, how is it different than what the world shares? Like if someone came to us and said, here's an idea on how to fix where you're at, and they were lost, they didn't even believe in God, how would their wisdom be different from the wisdom that we are sharing? We are oftentimes like the kid that wants to do things all by ourselves, and it's usually after we've exhausted all of our efforts that we turn to Christ. Now, I recognize that there may be some in the room that are thinking, what in the world does this have to do with where I'm at? Like, how is that supposed to help me? Like, I'm experiencing some pretty dark thoughts. I'm going through divorce. I'm going through bankruptcy. I have a sick loved one. I'm in a major life transition. How is this supposed to help me? Leads us to our third point. God's plan for wisdom, which is through the gospel, is taught to us by the Spirit. This is so important because I can try to get up here and try to pontificate, even though John told me I had to try to bring a good message this morning, good night, talk about pressure. And then Jordan gets up here and he says, if Josh says anything wrong, help it to go over. Did you guys notice that he prayed that? That's the first time in 17 years anybody's ever prayed something like that. Some of you are like, yeah, he works with you twice a week. Nah. I can try to share all this good truth with you, but I'm just going to tell you, it is only through the Spirit of God that we can begin to see how true wisdom is taught to us by the Spirit. Look what it says in verse number 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. We recognize, I actually gave my testimony just a week or two ago about how I had heard the gospel so many times as a kid, and then finally on that one night, it finally clicked. The Spirit revealed unto me, you are a sinner. If you don't do something about this by believing the gospel, you are going to be separated from me forever, and you need to believe that that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. And on that day, it was like the Holy Spirit revealed it unto me, and like it clicked, like, yes, I believe, and I believe the gospel of Jesus, calling upon the name of the Lord that day. Just like with salvation, the Holy Spirit of God wants to reveal this truth about how true wisdom is seen through the gospel. Verse number 11, it says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. As I read through this, I couldn't help but remember when I was a youth pastor for a while, and we'd taken our teenagers to a big youth conference. And youth conferences are great. They're crazy. I'm glad I'm not a youth pastor anymore, no offense, but to the young people. But I was ready to go back to the hotel, so we all went back to the hotel. And as we were going to go to our different rooms, the girls just kind of had that, you know, their lip pooched out like that. I mean, you guys know what that means when they got their bottom lip pooched out like that, kind of walking a little bit different. And I said, "What's going on, girls?" And they said, "Brother Josh," that's what they used to call me back then, "Brother Josh, we wanted to stay. We wanted to stay at the church. We didn't want to have to come back to the hotel." I was like 25 years old, and I was like, "There's this new thing where if you want something, you use your mouth to verbalize it. And if you say it," like, I don't know if you knew it or not, I'm only 25. I haven't developed the ability to read your mind just yet, right? I'm sure many of us have dealt with that. And that's what he's saying here. For what's inside of a man, the only the guy that's thinking it knows it, right? And it's the same way with God. He's saying in verse number 11, "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit." And it's the Spirit of God that knows the mind of God, and it is the Spirit of God that reveals these things to us. People don't know our thoughts unless we share them. And God shares His thoughts and His wisdom through His Word and His Spirit. And here's something that's important for us to know. God wants to share His wisdom. It's not like He says here in verse number 11 that the Spirit knows the thoughts of God and you ain't ever going to know what they are. What He's saying is, like, the Spirit knows the thoughts of God and I want to reveal them to you. You think of when Jesus Christ was walking this earth, He's about to leave and everybody's like, "What are we going to do?" He says, "Don't worry, do not fear. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send a comforter," right? Referring to the Spirit of God. "And He will guide you just as I have been guiding you." Look what He says in verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God." He's pointing out that once you've believed the gospel, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And that Spirit of God knows the true wisdom of God. And His desire is to reveal that unto us. Look what He says at the end of verse number 12. "Here's why you have the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." I'm just going to tell you guys, we are blessed. We got it good. But the truth of the matter is oftentimes we totally miss it. Because we're not walking in tune with the Spirit of God, sometimes we just overlook it. I enjoyed talking to several different people this morning. John was one of them during worship. He was talking about, "Man, it's just a beautiful morning because I enjoyed all the colors coming in." And then I was talking to Jeff's dad back here from Oklahoma. How old are you, like 104? Is that right? Pretty close. No, I was talking to him back there, and he told me, he said, "Man, it's just a beautiful day out there." And I think what was happening is I was talking to two men that have been walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit was revealing unto them the things that God has blessed them with. You see what I'm saying? That's what he's saying in verse number 12 at the end of that. He says, so that we can know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So here's the big question. We're looking at the church at Corinth, and he's writing to these people at the church at Corinth. He's like, "You guys all have the gospel, and you've believed the gospel, and you have the Spirit, and the Spirit wants to reveal all this stuff to you." Did the Corinthians have the Spirit? Nod your head with me. Yes, those of them that had believed the gospel did. So why didn't they know these things? Why were they struggling? Why did they not have true wisdom? Go back to verse number 6 and you'll see it. Verse number 6, he says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." Again, this does not at all mean you don't get to have wisdom because you're experiencing division right now. He's not saying they had to have all their ducks in a row and be perfect. He's just saying people that are spiritually mature begin to understand this true wisdom. As a matter of fact, look what he says in chapter 3 and verse number 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual," or "I couldn't speak unto you as unto mature or perfect," like he was talking about in the earlier chapter, "but I had to speak unto you as unto carnal," or fleshly, or "of this world, even as unto babes in Christ." They were sidetracked from their purpose for which they were made. One of the reasons we lack true wisdom is because we are easily sidetracked. We're easily distracted by something else. As a matter of fact, this video went viral this week. I want to share it with you. A couple's getting engaged in Greece. He's eating his candy bar there. Completely oblivious, right? They had no idea. They're in Greece. They're looking at the Mediterranean Sea that's out there in front of them. And right behind them was a beautiful opportunity to witness a young couple getting engaged. But they were focused on something else, right? And that's exactly what was happening with these people in Corinth. Paul would later write about the need to walk in the Spirit. The prerequisite for grasping the wisdom of God is not intellectual, it is relational. I was talking about therapy earlier, and I started seeing a therapist a few years ago. I've not been going lately, and my wife keeps telling me I need to go back. That's a whole other message. But I remember talking with a therapist, and I was telling him all my wife's issues, and all my issues. And I forget what led up to it, but I looked at him, and I said, just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And he goes, Josh, it's not that easy. So what do you mean it's not that easy? And essentially he was saying it's not intellectual, it's relational. Relationships take time. Like, you've got to work on these things. You can't just, okay, I did X, Y, Z, now it's all better. No, it's deeper than that. It's not intellectual, it is relational. And that's what we see with the gospel, is that whenever we believe the gospel, we are to become disciples of Christ. We're entering into a relationship with Jesus through the power of His Spirit and in relationship with His Word. And it's something that takes time to develop. And I want you to know that oftentimes, the reason we struggle in our walk with the Lord is because oftentimes we're more focused on a solution than we are on the Spirit. Just tell me what to do. X, Y, Z, bam, you're there. It's different than that. Think about this. And this is convicting to me. The last time there was some relational issue or some financial crisis or something going on, how many times were we aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in that moment? All believers have the Holy Spirit. But as one person said, our understanding of true wisdom is directly related to our sensitivity to the Spirit's work in our lives. Notice at the end of verse number 9 where he's quoting the book of Isaiah, and he says, these beautiful things that God has prepared for who? For them that love Him. That word love is the word agape. And the way it's used here, it means to those that welcome Him, those that are pleased with His presence, those that are contented with something. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to share with us the true wisdom of God for whatever it is we're going through. But here's the thing, we got to be listening. We've got to be walking in relationship with Him. There are things that are freely given to us by God, as the verse says, that we will never know about unless the Holy Spirit reveals these things. We need that revelation. But for believers, in order to see the revelation, we have to be listening. Rather than listening, oftentimes we're looking for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Another way of putting that is we're looking for pleasure, we're looking for possessions, or we're looking for power. But what he's telling us here is what we need to be looking for is presence. Looking for the presence of the Spirit of God in that moment. Asking the Holy Spirit, what does the gospel teach me about this situation? The gospel reminds us that it's not about rules. It is about a relationship with God. The gospel reminds us that we are new creatures. We are not the old man. We have been made new. We are seen, we are soothed, and we are secure in Christ. Like salvation, Jesus is the one that does the changing. I just have to believe. The gospel reminds us of this. The gospel reminds us that God redeems brokenness. The gospel reminds us that God knew whatever it is that I'm going through long before I was around, and He had a plan for it. The gospel reminds us that what He starts, He finishes. And what we need is that sensitivity to the Spirit to ask, what is the gospel teaching me about true wisdom in this moment? It's not just for our salvation, but it's also for our good. Don't look to the world's wisdom to fix these things. Look to the Spirit of God. The last thing, number 4, very quickly is this. God's plan for wisdom is for it to be shared. Look what he says in verse 13. Which things also we speak, The things that he has taught me, this true wisdom, I'm talking about it now, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul had been taught this true wisdom, and now he's passing it along to someone else. I like what one person said. He said, I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. And that's exactly what we're called to do as we learn this true wisdom. We surround ourselves with people that are sharing what God is doing in their lives, what he's teaching them, and we become a person that is sharing what God is doing in our lives. I'll conclude by sharing a very quick illustration about our pool that we have. So we bought this house out here just a couple miles from here about 5 years ago, and it had an in-ground pool. And we'd had an above-ground pool before that in our other house, but never dealt with this. And it was great the first year, but the second year, it just kept leaking water, And so I needed wisdom, right? And so I did what we did back then. I went to Google. Now we go to ChatGPT. But I went to Google, and I was like, what do I do? And I went to YouTube, like, what do I do? And I was looking for wisdom, and I looked all over the place, and I did everything that they told me to do, and I could not figure it out. So finally, I called around, and if anybody needs a good business idea, be a leak detection person, because the closest one is like an hour and a half from here. And so I find these leak detector people, and they're like, yeah, we'll come find it for you. We won't fix it, but we'll find it. It'll be $800. I was like, $800? You should just put a new pool in for that amount, right? But no, he said, be about eight. I said, how about 500? I actually talked him down a little bit. He agreed to come for 500 on a day that he was already going to be in town or something. But anyway, he came. He got in the pool. This old boy knew what he was doing. He put on a cool wetsuit. I tried to bite off him. He wouldn't let me. But he put on his wetsuit, got down in there, and he found the leak. And I can tell you more about that later if you're a pool person that's having a leak problem. I only charge you $400. But he ended up finding the leak, and since then, I've been able to fix all of the other leaks that we've had since then. And that's not a perfect illustration of what we see happening in this passage in regards to true wisdom, but it's kind of close. His plan was better than my plan, right? I tried to get under there with caulk, you know. I tried to get under there with food coloring and a little syringe, see if I could find it. His plan was far more superior than my plan, just like God's wisdom is better than the world's wisdom. His plan was to show me the real problem and how to fix it, right? He wanted me to find it. Like, he wanted to come and help me with this situation, and that's what the Spirit of God is longing to do. He wants me to find the real solution, not the fake worldly solution, but through the power of the Spirit. And his plan was revealed to me. The low cost of $500, right? I'm thankful the gospel doesn't operate in that way, but he has revealed it to us, and it was through that man he revealed it, and it's through the power of the Spirit he revealed the gospel to us, and now his plan is being shared, right? I tell people how to fix those leaks in their pools. So the question before us today is, where are you in this process? Are you still trying to figure things out on your own? Maybe looking for solutions outside of the gospel or outside of the power of the Spirit? Maybe the Holy Spirit of God has revealed a truth about the gospel that you could apply to your life situation, but you're still fighting him against it. Maybe you're at that point where you've already learned, and now God just wants you to share it, just like Paul was sharing there in verse number 13. God wants this for you. When we lean into the power of the Spirit to teach us how to live out the gospel, we live out verse number 9, and I want to put this one on the screen for you, because this is what happens when we walk in the power of the Spirit, living a gospel-centered life. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Let's pray together.
Thanks again for listening today. Grace Baptist Church exists to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. If there's anything at all we can do for you, please reach out to us. You can reach us on Facebook as well as online at experiencegrace.church. Hope you have a great day.